All right, everyone, we are back. You're back at the Digital Breakthroughs podcast powered by National Positions. Again, I am Matt Erickson, Director of Marketing here at National Positions. And this is part two, what has become a two-part podcast on what were we doing? Basics about Amazon you don't want to overlook. It was Amazon product listing basics you never want to overlook. So in part one, we hit up a lot, actually, at product images, bullets, descriptions, titles, back-end keywords, and we started kind of getting down. So this may be beyond the basics, but this is also very, very important because this conversation we're going to have, which is about FBA fulfilled by Amazon, as opposed to FMB fulfilled by merchant, FBM, excuse me, fulfilled by merchant, is what really, and it sounds weird to say, I said this in the last podcast, really put Dave on my radar. We were discussing something and he started schooling me on not just, you know, why FBA is good, but all the other benefits you had by doing it that made my head just boo. So that's what we're going to dive into today. So this, I guess this would be Amazon product listings beyond the basics you never want to overlook. So I'm going to try to be more of a fly on the wall. I know I talk a lot, but again, Dave, for those who didn't see part one, which we'll get the link to somewhere. Again, can you let everyone know what you do here at National Positions, and then we'll get right into it.
Yeah, I'm an Amazon account manager here at National Positions. I do anything and everything related to Amazon accounts.
Perfect. Okay, so let's just kind of give the high level because I just sped through it real quick. And then I'm going to give you a couple things here. One is, so at a high level, you know, we have, I think people who are new, maybe they're smaller brands on Amazon, they think of like, I'm going to fulfill the ordering myself, simply because they see the cost. You know, there's, mm-hmm. I think there's the thought of, I'm going to lose this much if I just, you know, have Amazon do it for me without maybe even considering, you know, not just that, but the time you're going to be saving, all the other logistics. So can you kind of give a quick rundown on, you know, that the fulfilled by merchant, what that entails?
Yeah. And FBM versus FBA. Absolutely. Great. Yeah, no. And the way you described it, I think is perfect because years and years of doing this has showed me that the reasons why people choose to do FBM are oftentimes the same. People do FBM because they feel there's a perceived, they feel they make more money on it. They want more control, things like that. And so those people, I would challenge you, what do you think Amazon's biggest expense has been in, in building out their business? Probably one of them is building fulfillment centers, and all for the purpose of being able to provide people 2-day shipping, and now soon, in some places already, 1-day shipping and even same day delivery. That is their commitment. Like, Amazon's entire business model is predicated on having the best customer service possible and building up that immense amount of customer trust, because they identified in the market that when it comes to buying things on the internet, people have trust issues.
Yeah.
And if everyone knew about it, you know, 10 years ago, eBay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. People Who think are you working people, with people associate eBay with scams, even to this day. To this day, I think they still do. And so when it comes to making a listing offered via FBA, you get a huge amount of benefits, not the least of which is higher conversions. Sure. When you have an FBA listing, you will have a Prime badge on your listing, and Prime customers, people who pay a Prime subscription, convert at something like a 71% rate on listings that are Prime. Compared to a non-Prime listing, it's usually between 10 and 15%. So that's huge, right?
Okay. So let me pause real quick, because I want to dive in, but I want to make sure everything that, you know, you said, and we were talking about, you know, cost, you know, between the two and control, like, that's not to be discounted. It's completely, you know, respectable and understandable that especially a smaller business or a mid-sized Absolutely. Business totally understand that you want to have, you don't want to feel like you're giving up control of your mm-hmm. baby, but at yep. the same time, Amazon's goal is, frankly, is to sell product, is to move product and move it quickly. And over the past 15 years, especially the last 7 years, you nailed it. They've developed so much trust that if they, something says 2 days, it's there in 2 days. If they need to return, I've at least had 3 times something has said it was delivered and it wasn't, or someone could have stolen it from my porch or something. And I've, you know, gone back to their customer service and said, hey, this never showed up. And they're like, we'll send another one. Like, there's no, mm-hmm. I've never had an issue with that. So, but then going into what you're saying, they also have this built-in affinity with people who are Prime members. I'm a Prime member. I don't know if you're a Prime yeah. member.
I'm a Prime member.
But there's like, I want to say it's something like 80% or it's some insane amount of adults in the States are Prime members, or at least connected to someone who's a Prime member. So people do trust the platform and they convert yep. at the levels you were talking about. So I'll stop now, but let's keep going yeah, into that.
No, yeah. absolutely. And you know, just to sort of piggyback on what you were saying, you know, I yeah. think that the reason people gravitate towards FBM, especially in the beginning, it's coming from a natural place for mm-hmm. a small business owner, even a larger business owner. That being said, what ends up happening is when you do a cost breakdown, what you will find, and you can actually do this yourself. If you type in FBA revenue calculator on Google, you'll find Amazon's own tool for you to do a comparison.
We'll try to link that on the screen down here somewhere so people can see it.
Sure. Yeah. More often than not, what you'll see is there is a slightly higher margin in selling FBM, but the amount of sales, and I've done countless business reports analysis on accounts to sort of prove this out, not just for mm-hmm. myself, but for the customers so that we can grow their sales in the best way possible.
It goes back to that whole thing of, do you want, I don't know the numbers. Maybe you can, if you have it off the top, you probably do.
Right.
But you know, if you're making, you know, let's just say if you're doing it on your own, you're making 90% margin and you're selling 10, or if you're having someone else fulfill and you're making 75% margin and selling 500, well, what's the value really?
Right. And that's what it comes down to. The question really is, are you selling something that is, you can only produce a few of them a year? You know, mm-hmm. in that case, maybe it is right for you to be FBM. But in most cases, FBA is definitely going to be the way to go. There are some circumstances where it can be cost prohibitive if your packaging isn't conducive to getting good fulfillment mm-hmm. center fees. And that's definitely something to consult with people on, because I've done actually even just this week, 2 or 3 different audits of ASINs for customers who are saying, hey, you know, like we're not making enough money through FBA. And it's like, you know, do a cost analysis. Oh, hey, look, your packaging size is twice as large as your competitors and you're getting crushed on fulfillment fees. So, you know, maybe talk to your co-packer. You do want to lab it out. Like you do definitely want, especially if it's a tighter margin product, you do want to make sure you're going to be profitable. So I encourage the use of that tool. But I would look at it from the perspective of, if you're serious about selling on Amazon and your product can be mass produced, you want it to be FBA viable and you should do everything you can to make it FBA viable. Yeah. That should be part of your go-to-market strategy more than likely.
If you're planning on scaling, you better, especially like if you're not, maybe if you're a regional, you're starting regional, but then you're wanting to expand national, expand international, mm-hmm. the logistics of that can just get insane.
Absolutely. And there are so many benefits of being FBA that go beyond even just, you know, the increased conversions, increased sales numbers. Not one of my favorite ones is,
here we go.
When you send in your product to Amazon FBA, now you're going to get their restocking recommendations.
Real quick. Let's pause really, really quick. Just because again, I forget that sometimes people won't realize if I'm just going to do it by the layman's version. basically FBM, fulfilled by merchant. Someone places an order on Amazon. You as a business owner need to track that, package it, ship it. And also you better do it within a time that Amazon finds deemable or about. If you don't do that, it's just that you can get pinged and pinged and pinged. And, you know, so yeah, again, you can get suspended. You keep the control, but Amazon's going to be watching you. But if you're doing FBA, then Amazon, let's just say you have 100 units or whatever your product is, you're going to send that directly to Amazon. Yes, you'll be eating a little bit of the cost because of the storage and the inventory, all of those things, but you're not having to worry about that. So when they order on Amazon, you are, for more or less, you are hands off now. It's all handled by Amazon. Okay.
It's all handled by Amazon at that point. They take over the shipping of your item. They handle all customer service inquiries, except for like very occasionally one will be routed to you by them, but they're basically all vetted by Amazon. And I would say 99% of all customer service inquiries will be handled directly by them.
Awesome.
So they take over all of that. And when it comes to the shipping into them, I would highly recommend selecting their partnered carrier service. And because they're partnered with UPS, it is a very deep discount that they get. And they do pass, I'm sure, at least a portion of it onto you.
Nice, which is going to bring us right back to what you were saying, actually, about, you were talking about inventory fulfillment. You were getting into, like, I don't want to say predictive analytics.
Inventory forecasting is. Thank you. Yeah. So obviously you can do forecasting for FBM too. You just have to know how to do it.
Sure.
When you send in product to FBA, they will start doing forecasting on those products based on your sales and based on other factors that you may not even know about. Like, so for example, let's say you sell like a product that's trending during Mother's Day, right? Mother's Day was just this past weekend.
I forgot. I'm just kidding. I got it. We were good. Trending on Mother's Day.
If you were selling a product that trends on Mother's Day, they would forecast for that. So it's going to be based on your sales. It's going to be based on trends and historical data that they have access to that you may not have access to if you haven't been selling for that long. And typically what you see or what I've seen time and time again is if you follow their recommendations, you start selling more.
What do you mean by recommendations?
So
policy, sure. But
let's say I sent 50 units into Amazon FBA and I sold through, 25 of them in a 30 day period. Now they're going to make a recommendation to me based on those sales numbers, based on their own projections and their algorithm for forecasting. And that's going to appear in the inventory planning part of your Seller Central account.
Okay. So whatever they recommend you send in to replenish to sell.
Yep.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. They literally will say, hey, this product, on this date, please send us this many. And you can get really granular with it too. You can go in to each individual SKU and you can put in information. Like you can say, hey, this is my manufacturer's lead time. This is how long it takes for me to get, like, you can put in all these things and then they'll factor that in for you as well. And what you typically see is, especially when a product is starting to get traction, if you follow those recommendations pretty much to a T, usually they just keep asking for increased amounts because your sales goes up, because when you have more product in fulfillment centers, it gets dispersed to more places in the country. What happens when you send a shipment into Amazon FBA? Typically, they'll have you send it to two or three different fulfillment centers.
Okay.
And then from there, it gets dispersed throughout the country to different fulfillment centers.
Got it.
And yeah, so your two-day shipping is now much more available. Your product can get in, has a bigger reach. It can get into more people's hands.
So this too, because I don't even know if, I think in some ways, Amazon's algorithms for these things are like saying, what's Google search algorithms? Well, good luck. It's kind of whatever's going on. But so I'm just throwing this out that, so not just based off of, previous sales history, but they could be going, okay, maybe somewhere in their algorithms, I'm just talking out of my ears here, but they can see competitors maybe leaving the market, or they can see that there's someone who's getting more not great reviews. So they're not going to be showing, you know, as much. They want to put someone in that spot. So, and also if you're playing with nicely with Amazon and they're saying, hey, this month we need 100, 150, 200, and you're on the ball, there is also a possibility that once you gain that traction, that can, assuming the rest of your profile is optimized, go check our other podcast for that one, that your just organic visibility could be going up as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and yeah, Amazon has a vested interest in obviously your product selling, but also they don't want products sitting around in their warehouse, you know? So now all that being said, I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea and think that they should just start off by sending in like 500
everything.
Well, you know, but I've seen that. And the thing is, it's so someone decides you don't have to rush it.
Sorry, because I cut you off. So you see people say, I'm going to do FBA, because I think I do want to get into like brand pages and some of that stuff you can do. But, you know, they'll go, this is great. Amazon's going to take care of it. And they just send all of their stock, but they have no traction to knowing it's going to be fulfilled. So Amazon's going, thanks.
Yep.
Now what do
I do? Your product doing well off Amazon does not necessarily correlate to it doing well on Amazon. So you just don't make those assumptions. There's a whole strategy that I like to implement when it comes to sending products into FBA. And it's funny because, you know, like here I am saying, send us, you know, like you'll end up sending in hundreds of units, but at the same time, like you don't have to start that way. And you should use for your initial push into FBA, you should use your data from your FBM sales, you know. For me, when a product is ad ready and you're ready to make your initial push into the market with, you know, substantial spend, that's when you should get ready and send in FBA inventory. You know,
you want
to have everything going for you. Like, you know, remember that conversion rate. That's going to translate over on your ads too.
Yeah, for sure. And I think people get, again, those who are considering going FBA, I mean, consider this the same way that if you're a small, medium-sized business and you're getting your product produced, wherever you're going to get it produced, you know, you're going to base how much you need to order for the next quarter, you know, off of either seasonality or next month. You know, if you just start your business, and I know people have done this, and then you've ordered 1,000 units and you're like, okay, let's sell. And then 50 units in, you're going, what am I going to do with all this stuff that's just sitting here? And that's the same thing that Amazon's going to be doing. If you just send them everything and it doesn't sell, and then you probably, and there's a whole thing where they can reject, like if you do that or something like that, and product just isn't moving, that they can go, we're going to send that back to you. And they're probably going to charge you for it. Is that somewhat accurate?
Yeah. Well, so what ends up happening is if you have inventory there and it hasn't moved in 180 days, it will become excess inventory. Once it's excess inventory, you are going to start incurring fees. Once it goes over, I believe it's a year, then it becomes long-term storage fees. And actually, if you dig into it and run reporting, they will do calculations to show you, like, sometimes it can look pretty grim. Like, let's say you sent in 200 units and then nothing sold. Again, don't do anything without some basis of data for it. They will basically calculate out, like, okay, so you sold one unit in 180 days and our long-term storage fees are, you know, going to be this. And so based on that projection, we're predicting that you'll have to, it'll be $27,000 of storage fees before you sell through all your product. Something crazy. I've seen some pretty crazy numbers, and it's never that bad, because at that point you would just create a removal order. And eventually it would likely get kicked back to you, because the other thing that will happen, and this comes down to account health, which is an entirely other topic we could touch on.
Part three, account health.
Account health. It will start to hurt your inventory performance index score. And once that drops below a certain threshold, they will start limiting the amount of stock that you can send into fulfillment centers. And at that point, they may send something back to you automatically.
Got it. Well, let's hold on that, because like you said, that could be a whole other can. Because I kind of bring this back to if someone wanted to do FBA, because you'll hear things, we'll see if we have time to get into this, but things like, you know, what is required if someone wants to be FBA? Do they have to be, you know, brand registered? Do they have to be, okay. So what, so if someone's going, sure, so, sign me up, what does that entail?
Yeah. To send things into FBA, I mean, so certain products do have special compliance, you know, like if it's a battery or a dangerous good, then that would require you to enroll in the dangerous goods program in order to be an FBA. But let's just say that it's not those things and it's, you know, a somewhat generic product. Maybe you're selling like a home good or something like that. You go into convert your listing or create or copy it and then create an FBA listing, and you would just create a shipment, send it into Amazon. They will provide you with labels. You put two labels on your case. One is a fulfillment center label, one is a UPS label, and then it goes to a fulfillment center. And that's it. It's funny you mentioned the brand thing. I've had clients who, for whatever reason, thought they did need to be brand registered in order to send into FBA. You do not. It's not required. So, you know, really, it's just a matter of being able to print those labels and get them applied. There are guidelines, you know, just like everything else with Amazon.
Of course,
they want you to do it a very specific way. I could do easily an entire podcast just on the operations and logistics of how things are supposed to be labeled.
Part 4. okay. Well, you know, because I've written a lot on Amazon and about the different sections of it. And I think possibly because there's so many, you know, it's not from Amazon, but different blogs and whatnot out there, that they don't really, going FBA may not be a insanely involved process. So they start putting other subjects in there, like, and your brand registry and your A+, you know, so people start, you know, thinking, oh, I have to do all of these things. But it's like, no, you just follow the guidelines, follow the steps. It's not that hard to do that. But it's once you are FBA, that's when the real work begins.
Right. If your product is selling at least enough to send in one case to Amazon, send in a case. That's when you're ready for it.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think this is a good place to hold this one, but I just from this discussion, I know we're going to do another one. Not right now. We'll do another one on account health, and we'll do one on, because I think going into those things like, you know, brand registry and, you know, A+ pages and store pages, I think those are great things to go into because it's just a whole other level. But, we're going to wrap up this Part 2. So if you do have any questions or comments, or there's something you want to see in a future one of these podcasts, you can email myself at matt.erickson. We'll put it on the screen, matt.erickson@nationalpositions.com. And Dave, they can reach you at
dave.casarino@nationalpositions.com.
And we'll have that up there as well. If you forget both of those for some reason, marketing@nationalpositions.com will get to us. But hope you enjoyed Part 2. Keep your eye out for Part 3, 4, maybe up to 8, depending on how far we go with this Amazon series. But thanks for watching the Digital Breakthroughs podcast. We will see you next time.